Amen. So as you've heard now this morning, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. So this is the week in the church year where we emphasize that illustration that Scripture uses over and over again that equates us spiritually with sheep. So what is that picture? What is that telling us? What do we know about sheep? Sheep are pretty dumb, right? They need help with everything. They are completely dependent on their shepherd. They need to be led to good food. They need to be led to water. They need to be protected from their enemies. They are prone to wandering off, and they need to be brought back into the fold. And that's us spiritually speaking, isn't it? By nature, we by ourselves are too dumb to discover or to claim the gospel. That is by grace that we have been saved, not by what we do, but by what He has done. We can't discover that on our own. So we have to be led to it. We have to be led through God's word to his sacraments, to that bread of life, to that living water that creates within us that spiritual life. We too need to be protected from our enemies. We too need to be brought back into the fold when we start to wander off into danger. Now notice though that today is not Shepherd Sunday. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. And Jesus in our gospel text clearly says that that's Him. We're talking about Jesus when we're talking about the Good Shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd. And today we're talking about how that Good Shepherd has set up under-shepherds to serve below Him, pastors. That word pastor, it's based in the Latin word, which means literally shepherd. And these shepherds are supposed to lead their people, lead God's people, their fellow sheep, to that bread of life, to that living water as well. To call those sheep back when they're wandering, to proclaim to them the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy that's ours through the love of God. But there's a problem, because these under-shepherds are not the good shepherd, right? These pastors, we are never perfect, and there are many pastors that you could not even say are a good shepherd. So how can you tell? How can you know which shepherds are good and which ones are not? How should you, as a congregation, judge me? Our text for today tells us to do exactly that, to test the spirits to see if they are from God, to test those who are proclaiming God's word to you, to make sure that they are leading you to where you need to go. Today we're reminded that following Christ's resurrection, that we are given the assurance of God that He provides for us good shepherding. So let's read our text here from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. You are from God, dear children, and you have overcome the false prophets, because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. They are from the world. That is why they speak from a worldly perspective, and the world listens to them. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. That is how we can distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. So we see here in our text that God, through his writer John, gives us a task, and it's kind of a big one. It's a daunting one. To test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false spirits have already gone out into the world. I was talking with a lady several years ago, and she asked me, what do I do for a living? And it's always so interesting to see people's reactions when I tell them that I'm a pastor. It tells me a lot about them. It reveals something about them. And her reaction told me that she had some association with the church, that she was a person who had some sort of faith. And so she said, what kind of pastor are you? I said, well, I'm a Lutheran pastor. I'm in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. She goes, oh, is that connected with the Missouri Synod? So I gave her a brief explanation. I said, we used to be in fellowship a long time ago, and we used to be connected, but we share many similarities, but we don't agree on everything, so we're not connected. And she said, oh, good, because those guys are so serious. They really mean business. And I kind of chuckled to myself, and I think that if that lady were to come to our church, to a service here at Peace, I think she'd say the same exact thing about us, wouldn't she? That we are serious, that we really mean business about biblical teaching. We mean business about the Word of God and sticking to it. We know how important it is to speak the truth, to stick to the truth of God's Word, even when it's uncomfortable to hear, even when it's unpopular, even when it causes backlash and disagreement from the world. And I also know that to the world, it can come off as a little bit crazy how much we stick to God's Word. It can be almost obsessive how much we compare everything that we believe to what the Bible teaches. But I would say that that's not a bad thing. I would say that that's a great thing. And that's exactly what we are encouraged to do right here in our text, to test the spirits, to take this seriously. And when the Bible talks about spirits, we are told that there's really only two kinds. There's never a neutral spirit. That spirits, they are either good, they come from God, they are angels, they are ministering spirits who serve God, who serve his people, or they are rebellious spirits. That they are demonic spirits, they're demons whose aim is to confuse and nullify the work of Jesus. So there's no in-between, there's no neutral spirits, there's only good or evil. And so we take that idea and we apply it to those who proclaim the Word of God. And so every under-shepherd, every pastor who is leading sheep, there's really no neutrality when we listen to what pastors or teachers preach or teach either. Either they are teaching and proclaiming the truth, so their message lines up with God's Word, it's based on God's Word, it uses God's Word as its foundation and follows it to a T, or they are preaching something that's false. They're preaching the deceptions of the devil. They are preaching the message of the world, and they're leading people away. So there's really no neutrality in religious messaging either. When you listen to a teacher or when you listen to a preacher and they're talking about religion, they're either leading you to Jesus or they're leading you away from him. So which one am I? As you sit here today listening to the sermon that I'm preaching to you, are you testing me? You should be, and I pray that you are, and not just today, but every single day that you are here listening to a sermon, every single time you are listening to a Bible study. Test the shepherd to make sure that they are leading you to where you need to go. And I know that sounds like a daunting task. Right, I come up and I wear this alb, it's a different outfit, I've been to seminary, I've had theological training, I've been doing this for a long time, and it's daunting to say, well, how am I supposed to test a pastor? Our text tells us exactly how. Verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. We hear that everything depends on Jesus, right? Everything depends on Christ. Depends on being rooted in him and connected in him. It depends on him being the source of our hope, our comfort, our salvation. Everything depends on knowing that he is our true God who has come in the flesh to live for us and die for us, to win the victory in our place. Every shepherd who shepherds in truth confesses and leads you to the good shepherd, to the one who has done all of this for you, leads you to Jesus. And so anyone and everyone that leads you anywhere other than Jesus, anyone who points you into yourself to say you can find the answers in your heart, you can find the solution in what you do or think or say, anyone who leads you to themselves or to any other place, anyone who takes this gift of faith that we have been given and says, this is something that we do for God. This is how you show that you are good enough for God. This is a work that you do. They are lying. They are not leading you to where you need to go. Their message is one of deception. It lines up with the way and the message of the world. and it leads you away from the Savior. And yes, that's serious, right? We need to mean business about this, and that's why we here at Peace, as a congregation, as a group, this is why we take it so seriously, because our God does too. And look at this from His perspective, right? He loved us so much that He created a way for us who are born as sinful creatures, as enemies of God, to become His people, His children. He loved us so much that He says, you are destined, because of the sin in your hearts, to be damned forever, to suffer eternally. I want you instead to share in the glories of my home forever. But there's not many paths that lead to this solution. There's one way. Right? There's only one way. It's not that you can follow all of these different paths and that they lead to the same place. There's one path. There's one way that leads from condemnation to salvation. And our God wants you to know it. He wants the world to know it. He wants you to build your life on this one way, this one path, this one foundation. The only way to get to the Father is through the Son. It's through Jesus. Right? It's through knowing that He, as God, did come in the flesh, and that He lived perfectly in our place. He did what we couldn't do. He was perfect. He fulfilled God's law for us. And He takes that perfection, He goes to the cross, and He says, I'm going to lay down my life for you too. I'm going to suffer death and hell for you so that you don't have to. His resurrection on Easter is proof of His victory. He was raised to life for our justification. The gift of faith that He's put into our hearts that unites us to Him, it means that everything that He won now belongs to us, to His sheep. This is the only way to solve that problem of sin and death. And God says, I want you to know it. I want you to remember it. I have written it down so that you don't forget, so that you can study it and build your life upon this truth. That awesome gift of faith has changed us. We've gone from an enemy of God, and it has changed us into His son or His daughter. Verse 4 is just awesome. It says, you are from God. Your nature now as a believer is different. It's changed your makeup. It's changed your or who you are. You no longer belong to the world. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are not from the world. You are from God, dear children. And you have overcome the false prophets because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. Jesus is the one who is in you. Jesus is the one who has overcome. And again, the emphasis here is clear. It all depends on Jesus. It's not us. It's Jesus. It's our good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep. And when we are listening to His voice, when we are living in the Word of God, when we are in it every day, when we are making a habit of coming to church and Bible study, when we are in that Word, we hear His voice and we recognize it. Right? We know what that voice sounds like. It's like listening to the voice of our parents. If we hear someone else call us, we know that's not our mom or dad, but we know when our mom or dad calls our name. Right? We know Jesus' voice. We recognize it. But when hearing and meditating on the Word of God becomes not so routine, the lies, the deceptions start to sound a little bit more convincing. Just because Jesus has overcome these deceiving spirits doesn't mean they've stopped talking. Right? They are still talking and people are still listening. They are from the world. That is why they speak from a worldly perspective and the world listens to them. The world listens to those who speak from a worldly perspective, and that makes a lot of sense, right? And we still have that sinful nature within us. Even though we are from God, we are in these mortal bodies that still struggle with a sinful nature. And so we are tempted to have our itching ears scratched too, aren't we? We want to hear what lines up with our worldly desires and goals. We don't want to hear our good shepherd come to us and tell us, hey, in this life, there's going to be a lot of difficulty, a lot of suffering and hardship. We don't want to listen to the good shepherd when he says, hey, if you want to be my disciples, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We don't want to even hear him tell us that we're sheep. Right? We want to hear that we are strong and capable and that we are powerful and that we can do whatever we set our hearts to as long as we try hard enough and dream big enough. And it's because of this that we are in a way predisposed to being misled. Right? If we are mindlessly listening to anything that packages itself as Christian or as religious, and we are not taking it and testing the spirits to see if they are from God, we are at risk of being led astray. And so we need to be careful. We need to be serious about it. We need to mean business when it comes to God's word. We need to test the spirits to see if they are from God. There was a situation that happened to me in high school that's a good illustration of this. I was senior in high school, and I bought a motorcycle. And as a new owner of a motorcycle, I wanted to take care of it, so I changed the oil on it. And it was a small motorcycle, and so it didn't have a lot of oil, so I put it in a small plastic container, stuck it in the back of the garage by our other used oil so that we could take it in to get recycled. Several weeks passed, so I had totally forgotten about it. My dad found that bottle in the back of the garage. It was a purple Gatorade bottle, and he said, "What is this doing back here?" And he stuck it in the fridge. You know where this is leading probably. I come home, I open the fridge door, and there's a Gatorade sitting right there. I didn't think about it. I didn't think, whose is this? Where did it come from? Who does this belong to? I opened it up and took a big swig, and that glug of dirty mortar oil went right in my mouth. And it was as gross as you could possibly imagine. It looked absolutely fine on the outside. Right, I was excited about it. I didn't pay attention to what I was taking in, and it cost me dearly. And this is obviously a pretty extreme illustration of what we're talking about in our text, that we need to be serious when it comes to our faith, that we need to not let our guard down when it comes to God's word. Test what you read and what you hear, what you're taking in, even here, especially here in your own church, to make sure that your pastors are leading you to the good shepherd, to Jesus. Test us to make sure that what we teach and preach is based on the truth of God's word. Because that's it. That's the only thing that is the truth, right? That's our only foundation. That's the only thing that we know for certain. There is no message of hope or forgiveness or spiritual refreshment apart from the word of God. Everything else is deception. Fellowship, we are from God. That is now our nature. That is what God has created within us. Because of the gift of faith, we are his little lambs, and we belong to him. As his sheep, we listen to him. We listen to his word and to his voice and to those who speak his word to us. And we listen to him because we recognize that voice. We recognize the uniqueness of the good news that's only found in Scripture. We recognize the uniqueness of grace. A message that says that it's not us, it's not our work, it's not our goodness that saves. It's all about the work of the Good Shepherd. This is not a message that comes from the world. This is a message that comes from God. We have confidence, and we live with that confidence because God has given us this foundation. He has written it down for us so that we can stand on the certainty of the truth of his word. The truth that we know sustains us and encourages us. The truth that calls us back when we're wandering. The truth that reminds us of the forgiveness and the grace that are always ours when we turn back to that good shepherd. The truth that builds up within us the ability to test the spirits. So may God continue using that same word to enable us to live in the love that he has shown to us. To share that love in our lives and to strengthen our faith in the good shepherd. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing as we turn to him.